This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome to another episode of the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast, The One Was Had a Dream. As ever, I will be joined by Danny Baker, and on today's episode, we will be talking about the Doncaster game. Were the red cards stupid from Bugel and Biller? Johnny Jackson, is he doing a good job? Why are fans still on his back? Then we'll discuss question time. So we asked you to send in your questions to me and Danny, and we'll answer them as honestly as we possibly could. We got some anonymous questions, quite a few actually. There was loads of people got involved in that, so thank you very much for sending them in. And then at the end, we'll discuss. We were going to do unpopular opinion, but I don't think we'll be able to get that done today. So Danny's got an idea regarding a selfies, and we'll discuss that later on in the episode. So let me introduce the one and only Danny Baker. How are we? We good?
I'm good, mate. Really, really good. Absolutely. Anyone who's working outdoors, I'm feeling your pain. It was absolutely bitter. House football today. Whoa. Absolute humdingers. It was like Saving Private Ryan. Do you remember house football when you were at school? Like against other schools and you hate them.
I went to a public school.
Of course you did, yeah.
Schools play house football, didn't it? It's all that Harry Potter stuff, isn't it?
I mean, we had house rugby at my grammar school, but I mean, we're the seriously educated. But it was lively. You got all the kids who were basically competing against each other. And it was absolutely bitter. And it was interesting because like there was like own goals, there was sliding tackles. It was absolutely, it's getting wetter and wetter. And go on.
Well, people jump in the cab, right? And they go, oh, this weather, eh? And I have to pretend, it's a nightmare. Like, oh,
you're like, cha-ching.
I love it. Do you know what I mean? Like, the wetter, the better, to be fair. Just like my missus says. But, seriously, rain and really hot weather is a cab driver's dream. But yeah, the rain at the moment is, I'm cha-chinging it in.
Obviously, I'm an intellectual man, as you know. Yes. The envy of many a Don supporter. Wanted to talk to you about fanzines. You're a big fanziner, and can you remember any? Because I remember quite a few when I was at Wimbledon. There's maybe one or two, but is it a dying thing? The fanzines, you think?
It's dying now, and I think it does. It wouldn't work or serve a purpose in today's woke industry that we live in and the world that we live in.
I'd love to get an old copy of one of the old fanzines.
I was speaking to Xavier about this because Xavier used to do them.
Did he really? I was going to ask you which one did he do?
I'm not sure. There used to be low. I think there was like hundreds of them out.
I remember there used to be Yidaho,
Hoof the Ball,
Wandering Hands.
Yep.
And then obviously we got now like the Historical Don, which was quite similar. Was there one called Sour Grapes?
Did we have, there was another one. There was one recently during the AFC Wimbledon days. I know Jonesy and them put it together for one. It was one episode, I think. They wanted to do more, but obviously the work that goes into it, you know about the podcast. Oh, like, podcasts are more like, brilliant. Podcasts for me are like fanzines nowadays.
Yeah.
This is why I always...
Do you think that is? Do you think podcasts are like the modern day fanzine?
Pretty much. You know what I mean? It's like me and you have got our opinions and people read or listen to it, sorry, and agree with it or not. Do you know what I mean? Same as a fanzine. Someone would, they'd read it, think that's funny, or they wouldn't get on with, say, Joe Bloggs was writing in the fanzine. You think, well, actually, I disagree with you all the time. Do you know what I mean? But nowadays, obviously, you just go, I don't disagree with him. Or you speak to me and you in the pub and go, oh, did you read that fella in the Who's the Ball Up or whatever it is?
Who's the Ball Up? That was one, wasn't it?
And you read it and then you have the chat about it in the pubs. Where nowadays, obviously, social media, you get it all on
I guess if you literally think like the ones I can think of, like Hoof the Ball Up, Sour Grapes, Yidaho, Historical Don, Wandering Hands, if you switch that now to the podcasts that we have just as a smaller club than potentially that Premier League outfit, they're probably, you're right. If you think there's probably, what, four or five different podcasts, obviously, where your own words were the, you know, unofficial number one, et cetera, et cetera. But if you could put the club, us, and the other ones, that's probably, you're probably right. That's probably exactly the same as all the podcasts.
It's quite funny because I always get a bit of stick over the unofficial podcast part that I always say. The reason why we are the unofficial podcast is because we say it, I feel, in our ears, and that's how fanzines used to be. Fanzines would say it how it is. It'd be joke. As I said, I don't think fanzines would be able to work nowadays because, as I said, I was speaking to Xavier, and some of the stuff that they used to put in fanzines, literally, he said nowadays he reads it and thinks, oh, God, that was a bit close to the bone and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? And it was, and you had to have thick skin back. Everyone had thick skin back in them days, where nowadays, do you know what I mean?
How they actually, like, made it. If you think about it, like, this is before the internet, right? A lot of it. I mean, I remember being watching, getting, you know, Hoof the Ball Up where we were at Plough Lane. So we're talking about late 80s, early 90s. I wonder how they actually did it, whether it was like, right, all of you, we're going to go to this pub, bring what you've done, and we'll stick it all in together, or tell me what you've done, and I'll type it all up.
I think it's the same as this, really, where we say, look, everyone get involved. I think the fans used to say, look, write in, do you know what I mean? And then if it's good, we'll put it through, do you know what I mean? They'll have an editor. So say, for example, you were the editor of the fanzine, and you had... Thomas Moore, for example, just made up name, wrote a piece regarding or what's his name that sings all our songs at the moment? Sam, is it Sammy who wrote?
I can't talk to him about him. He makes you laugh too much.
He wrote our theme song at the start for us. He done that for us, and you know he gets all the ukuleles out and he'd write in saying about why music and football and interlinked and stuff like that. And people go, yeah, that's a brilliant piece. Let's put it in the fanzine. And I love fanzines. I thought they're brilliant. As I said, I think nowadays it's all for likes, clicks and clickbait, isn't it, really? And we've been accused of that a few times, which is completely false. But it's like Sky Sports now have gone completely weird with regards to they have YouTubers on and people that do like Man U podcasts on as guests nowadays, and it's like, you know what I mean? I'm not getting much insight from them, but then that's what people say about us, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because obviously it had a lot of really good energy, and I used to love reading it. And I'm even now, and forgive me for not knowing the guy, but he's quite a tall guy, he's one of the faces, but I don't know his name. I think he does Historical Don, he always sells it.
The Crabtrees.
Okay, I don't know who it is, but whoever it is.
Crabtrees, I think it's a Crabtree. I think I know who you mean. Tall, brown hair, isn't he?
Yeah, it really, seems like a really nice fella. Always sells them. I always buy one. I kind of flick through it. It's kind of... It's. I feel it's a tiny bit dated in terms of what it's telling us. It's very sort of quite niche. It's like old games, very, very old memories, etc. It's not quite as modern. It's not a modern read, but it's still quite an interesting one. I just admire the sheer tenacity, the gumption, the sheer volume of stuff that he obviously knows and has to put together. I kind of appreciate the work, hence why I buy it. But it's quite an interesting. But like you said, I guess what you're saying, like I said, nowadays I couldn't tell you. Even going to watch Chelsea or whatever, I haven't seen a single podcast, a single. Little a fanzine. I haven't seen anyone selling a fanzine, let alone, I mean, I haven't actively looked, to be honest, but I haven't seen anyone selling one.
No, I think we're the only ones that still do. I think I saw him selling it up in Mansfield and they told him he couldn't.
Really?
Yeah, I think someone said you couldn't sell that or something and he was outside with it. I can't remember what game it was. But yeah, I know the guy you're talking about. Yeah, I said the one that always hits home with me, which it wasn't really a fanzine. It was more we were doing the program at the end when we were sellers and we were boycotting buying any merchandise or programs. And people put together yellow and blue. And that was our match day program. But that was that's a fanzine because it was the fans doing it for the fans. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And they're days I love when all the fans, as I said, we'll come on it probably later regarding some of the questions we got. But nowadays, I do feel like we've said it before, a massive split within the fan base and stuff. This group versus that group versus this group. When obviously it happened and the move happened and stuff, everyone pulled together and everyone bought yellow and blue and everyone contributed. And nowadays, I just feel like everyone, it's too much bitterness against if you're doing well or someone else is doing well and stuff. And also, like nowadays, I don't know if you probably wouldn't have seen them, but there's a lot of these females now who sell themselves on these OnlyFans sites. They cling on to a football club.
Okay, I didn't ask.
I've seen a few of the videos on Twitter and stuff. Not something I look for, to be fair. And they scream about how crap the club is and how they've had enough. And then obviously they take the top off and stuff. And just forget guys to like it and stuff like that. It's very, very weird behavior nowadays. And the Mark Goldbridges, have you heard of Mark Goldbridge?
I've heard of Mark Goldbridge, yeah.
Who just sit there in front of a screen. And these watch alongs, have you seen these watch alongs?
No, not really.
Literally, me and you would watch, say, the AFC Wimbledon game on Saturday against Doncaster. Me and you were sitting there watching the game, and people were watching us watch the game.
So it's almost like soccer Saturday, yeah.
It's football Gogglebox.
Yeah, so you're watching when you go watch soccer Saturday, and someone tells you about it. It's basically that.
Obviously, if you lose your mind and go mad, then that obviously gets better.
Oh, like Arsenal TV fan. I know what you mean.
Yeah, but the watch alongs are
huge. Claude.
You make 8p.
He's got to go.
You make 8p a hit on it, apparently. And some of the rich or the ex-footballers are doing them. They're minted it in, making loads of money just by losing their shit, watching the team play and stuff like that. It's just mental nowadays. It just blows my mind, really. But yeah, not a lot of
people. We're talking about losing our shit, if you like. Saturday, Don's Doncaster. Did you pick 2-0?
I picked 2-1.
I said 2-1. Yeah, I thought we were going to win it. I put down 2-1, which was devastating because
you
I was
said
like,
2-0 on the pod though.
I did say 2-0, and when I wrote it, I said bloody 2-1.
Yes, because I thought you'd come on and be typical Danny Baker.
No,
because you picked 2-0.
I thought 2-0 when I put 2-1. Yeah, I was gutted, but go on and talk to me. What do you think? Yeah, should we start with the ref? I mean, the ref for some reason the first half had a serious agenda. No idea why.
Not sure
he was going off on one.
I disagree.
Do you really?
I don't get why Wimbledon fans always go on about this agenda and about
with. No, not in general. I don't think it's in general with referees. I just thought the bloke on Saturday for both teams was crap. I just thought he turned up to book people regularly.
But
the Lemony Evans yellow was
that was ridiculous.
Was bonkers.
But that's the only one I can see that was bonkers. The other bookers I can think they're bookings.
I mean, the Boogie one in the first half was high foot. He didn't mean it, but it's high.
Maybe a word is initial.
I mean, I thought both of Billers were yellers.
Oh, but the second one's unreal.
I've got no argument with the two yellers. I don't know. I still haven't seen what happened with the second Boogie, to be honest.
He kicked him. Kicks out.
Oh, did he actually?
It's ridiculous. You don't need to do it again.
And is it a straight red or is it a yellow red?
It's because he don't connect. I can see why the ref gave him a yellow. But if he connected, he probably would have been. He literally doesn't touch the geezer, really. But
it's 95th minute.
You ask again, Mick Dawes that sits right by that as well, and he see it. Like I saw it live. He saw it literally in front of him, and it's stupid. You can get away with them kind of things with 2 minutes play. But the thing I got, Dan, is why don't we do our homework on who's refereeing us as a club, like as manager and the team behind the scenes? Because this ref. It was known for booking people for fun.
But maybe we didn't. This is the problem. This is the bigger problem is maybe we did.
Well, if we did, then it's even stupider because you've got people like Biller, who I love. I think the kid's brilliant. He's going to be one of the best players we've ever had.
Yeah, he was
brilliant. He's never going anywhere because obviously his injury record.
Yeah.
But he's stupid and could have lost us a game in a different scenario. But get that second challenge, there's no need for it. We're 2-0 up. The geezer's going off, out, wide. Do you know what I mean? He's still got a lot to do before he gets a ball even in the box. And he takes him totally out of the game. There's no need for that challenge. He gets sent off. Right? We're down to 2-1. To 10 men. If they score after that, we're thing. Bugle again, right? This is before we knew that the scum game was off. And then Bugle goes and gets himself sent off as well. It's ridiculous.
I've literally just looking online at the stats. And for me, the big one was we've had 2 shots on goal, scored both. They've had a number of shots on goal. And we had 6 shots total, 3 blocked, 2 on target, 1 off target. They've had 7 with no shots on target. And I kind of felt like that was, we spoke about it the other week, but the big difference was Ali. Again, I just felt he was lively. His second goal was excellent. The first goal, had it not gone in and the foul on Joe Lewis not being given, I was going to lose my plot completely because he was literally just getting dragged everywhere. What did you make of Doncaster? I thought they were really not up to a lot, to be honest. I thought they were very, very average.
A lot of these teams are like that, and I've seen so many of them in this division. And Doncaster was another one where actually Doncaster, the start of the season, I thought they'd be up there. I thought they'd be playoffs. They signed some good players, signed a few players in, and I didn't have anything up front. Again, I think that's one thing that we have got is that we've got Ali. Where if you haven't got a goal scorer up front, then you really are going to struggle in this league. People like Crewe have got them now. Do you know what I mean? Where we're lucky at the moment until at least January that we have got someone who can find the goal.
I was reading he's in the top 2 in the league for goal involvements, 5 scored, 5 assists. I mean, I'm looking through it. The first thing I thought Alex Pearce was superb.
I was just about to say to you,
absolutely,
other than Ali,
pie from me, I thought Alex Pearce was absolutely
but
brilliant.
These are his kind of games though.
100%.
Got no
he
fast
was,
players.
I just thought he was excellent. The way that he kind of navigated it all, I thought was exceptional.
But then,
he was just really, really clear, kept the whole game in front of him, and it was so simple for him.
He's not playing every week. He's not playing Tuesday, Saturday. So it probably helps him at the moment that we've got. Next time we play, if Johnson's free and fit, I'll bring him straight back in for Pearce and rest Pearce again. But Pearce, now we know that he can come in and do a job against these teams that are average. They don't have much pace. Then you don't need to throw in Callum Bye. You don't need to risk a Johnson or a Lewis from getting injured. You can put Pearce in there. The other one for me at the moment, who I think is a massive player for us at the moment, and I do worry come January, is Jack Curry. Curry was superb again. Getting forward is just unbelievable. Getting forward, and he really helps the wingers out that are in the team.
I think the challenge I'm having with the wingers, and I like them both, and I think they're both decent, but they both rarely want to go on the outside, particularly Lemony Evans. He did not want to come anywhere near down the left. What I mean by that is, and I think the kind of way that we're playing is if we've got Biller and Curry, they can naturally come in because they're coming around the back. So they create that width, if you like. But I still don't understand why they can't be more interchangeable and we can have that kind of, okay, we're going to come around the outside. No, now you're going to come on the inside. Because Lemony Evans in particular, I think is actually a decent enough player. But they are just constantly looking to come infield. But I guess from a team like ours, if Reeves is not going to score, if Little isn't really going to be the goal scorer, the real big, I mean, he's got a couple, but like the proper box-to-box kind of goal scorer, the reality is we're going to need to have a couple tucked in. And I guess that's why they're doing it. But I'm with you on it completely. I thought Curry was absolutely brilliant on Saturday. Mm. I thought it was interesting because I was worried about Pearce before the game. Still a bit concerned. Again, I don't... And it's my problem, nobody else's. But I don't really listen to many of the Johnny Jacks interviews. I find them a bit boring. What's happened with Sasu?
I got told from a very, very good source that he just isn't fancied.
Sasu at all?
Yeah, at the moment, that's what, when he's not in the squad, it's not because he's injured. Some people say he was warming up and stuff, but I got told that he hasn't been fancied the times that he's been dropped. because the players that we've got are more experienced and stuff like that, and Jackson Trout. I'm with you on this, and I was going to say this to you. Well, I was going to ask you two questions. One is, are we now on a good
run? I'm married, I've told you this.
Are we now on a good run? Because you were asking the question,
are we on a bad run now? We're in a good run.
We've had some good results, and there's still some Jackson doubters out there and outers out there. No one can be very happy with, and no one really fancies him still.
Yeah.
That was one of my questions. And my other question is, what has happened with regards to the club and the interviews and stuff? Because start of the season, we interviewed him in his garden and the content was really good. There is still some good, great content from the club. This ain't bashing the club on this or anything, like with regards to the behind-the-scenes kind of stuff. I can't remember what they call it and kind of stuff. But do you know what I mean? I just find the interviews boring. I can't watch a Johnny Jackson interview because it's the same stuff. We get told on a Friday we've got a fully fit squad by him, and then on Saturday there's two players missing. Do you know what I mean? We're reverting back to type from last season again, where I thought at the start of the season we were going to get a bit different. Do you know what I mean? It's just the same. And again, we're winning games, so it's all good. But I can't watch the interviews. I just find boring. I don't anything from the official club, the official pod and stuff like that. I do find quite boring because I just feel like we're repeating. We're trying to repeat the same content over and over again when we don't really need to. Just do really good, amazing content and get it out there. It's just very, I think we try too hard on that front.
I mean, I'm not particularly, like I said, I find sometimes interviews are quite long and I'm like, I'm not that bothered about it, if I'm honest with you. And I'd rather find out. And again, it's difficult because, you know, the kind of conversation that you get, it's changed already from the match day. So I'm kind of like, what's the point? I guess the issue with Sasu is who? Because if you've got a backup keeper, a backup left back, a backup right back. You take Brown.
If you look at, right, what was our subs on Saturday?
There was no Callum Bailly on Saturday, by the way.
What was our subs on Saturday?
Our subs were Agondir, yep. Lakin, Nerfil, yep. Zanev, Brown, Johnson, Davison.
Right, so we got Johnson and Agondir. They can go across the back four. Johnson can go left back or centre. Right back, and Agondir can go right back or centre back.
Yeah,
right.
So Agondir is going to play right back in
here. Yeah, but he can. But he can play centre
back. Johnson can play anywhere else.
But Agondir can play that centre back role if we wanted, right?
Yeah.
Lakin can go in the midfield if we needed.
He's the only recognised centre midfielder on the bench.
And Davison was on the bench as well, wasn't he?
Who is
the striker?
The only recognised what I'd call out and out striker.
But what was the point of Brown? I'm just saying, why do we need Brown in there? Because if Curry has to come off, you put Johnson left back. You'd pick Johnson before Brown, even on the bench, to come on as left back. I would, anyway. I'd rather have Sasu on the bench instead of Brown and have that extra attacking option in case you need it. Lucky enough, we didn't. But, yeah, I just think I don't see the point of Brown on there. But
yeah, I mean, I can understand the argument of that. I mean, everyone else, it's weird because you've got Nerfil who's covering the wings, Lakin to cover centre midfield, you've got Agondi who can play one full back, you've got Johnson who does all the others, you've got Zanev in goal, and you've got Davison up front. So like you said, the argument is probably the battleground between Brown, Callum Bailly and Sasu. Bearing in mind, coming back, you've got Pell. That's that one. And then obviously, potentially, you'd have somebody like, I know, Morgan Williams, maybe, if and when we come back into the mix of it.
Lakin goes back in January for me.
Yeah.
We send him back if Pell comes back fit, and Morgan Williams is... I'm not sure what's up with Morgan Williams at the moment because I've understood that his loan deal's up. I'm sure...
And they've just sacked their manager, haven't they? Or the manager left?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Darren Sahl, is it?
Yeah, I'm sure he's is up. I don't know if we've extended it or anything like that. I don't know if we'll bring him back or if we'll send him back on loan for the rest of the season. But even Lakin, you send back and you have Pell back in the fold instead of him. As I said, Brown for me at the moment, I know he was captain against the under-23 Palace team the other day. And obviously Jackson likes him. He's got experience and stuff and he does good shithousery most sometimes.
Going back to your very, very brief thing you said about, are we on a good run? If you're looking at the league form, the answer is probably no, because we are lost, drawn, lost, lost, one. So we've only got four in the out of the last 15 in terms of home games. The last five games, everyone above us is on a better run than us. Every single team above us, and bizarrely, there are quite a few below who are like Doncaster, bizarrely, before us, they had won three of the last four. So I don't think we're on a good run. I don't think you can say because we beat Palace Kids, Doncaster,
Cheltenham in the Cup.
Cheltenham in the Cup. I mean, that was
dispatched
a good game.
Dispatched Cheltenham in the Cup, and they're a league above us.
But again, just three games.
We beat the Palace Kids.
All you can do is beat everyone you play, right? So from that argument, but I don't know whether or not you can say you're on a good run if you've played three.
I get what you mean.
I don't know whether we can quite constitute that. But at the same time, we were more than enough value for Saturday. I thought we were more than capable. We're now sitting at ninth. So when you put it that way, for me, we're in a really, really positive place, considering I was expecting us to be 16th. So we're probably above where we're at. We're, 2 points off the playoffs with a better goal difference than 5th, 6th and 7th. I feel like now that I'm really looking forward to this Notts County game. I feel like, I know we've got Wickham coming up, but the Notts County game, I feel like it's going to be buzzing.
Wickham for me is a nonsense game because we're really through in that competition. It'd be good to play some players that haven't got game time. Obviously, Lyle Taylor's just signed for Wickham, so he'll play. He'll probably get a good reception from our fans if anyone goes. I'm not going. Oh, no thanks. I'm not one of these B-team boycott either.
You're off to Ibiza, are you? Or are you not even going to go to Ibiza? You're just going to work the weekend?
Working, taking the kids crazy golf and into a massive ball pit thing that we've got in Southend. But yeah, it's a nonsense. You know what I mean? I was happy with a free weekend, to be fair. And I'm hoping that we play players that need game time. But the next three games after that are quite big. Notts County at home, Gillingham away, and then Ramsgate on a Monday night, which is a terrible night to be in football.
Yeah, it's a weird one, that one, isn't it? I think the only positive from my perspective is I would guess we'll be, whatever happens, we'll be in the third round draw. They normally do it on a Sunday, don't they?
Yeah, Sundays. So, but it's 67 grand for the TV, but I do think we're going to lose a lot of fans coming down to it. I won't be able to come now. It's a Monday night. I would have done on Saturday or a Sunday, or even a Friday night possibly. But yes, Monday night is no good for me. And now it's on ITV4. I'll just watch it at home, so...
Yeah, but I mean, Saturday was a really positive result. The Billing sending off is frustrating. The Boogie or sending off, because obviously Biller, you know, he's been on a good run. But again, like I said, I said to my dad on Saturday, Ogonde coming in, I don't think he's obviously as good as Biller, but I've got no qualms at all with him coming in. I don't feel like, oh God, here comes Ogonde. I don't feel that at all. The Boogie or miss is also actually, in my opinion, not a bad one, because I feel like we do need to play Davison and Ali together. I feel like we need to give that a game a chance.
I think they're both lucky that the Scum game got postponed.
Yes,
because if we were missing,
as are we,
if we were missing Bugle, Ali and Biller for that game,
yeah, I agree.
I would have been fuming at Biller and Bugle. They kind of got away with one a little bit there because they're both petulant, both silly challenges to make, both silly second bookings when you're on a booking. Also, a lot of people, again, they were blaming Jackson for not making the subs and bringing Biller off. I don't know.
I'm not sure, I think you keep Biller on,
but Bugle possibly could have come off for me earlier. But you don't expect him to get sent off in what the 80s?
Yeah, and I think the problem with Biller, as you know, and I think I really like him. He is that 100% merchant.
Yeah.
The first half, you knew it was going to happen. He was charging up far too quick. He has that. We talked to the kids about, you know, speeding up and slowing down and then trying to read the game. He just went hell for leather. Someone was far too cute, and that will be part of his game that he really needs to work on, because as he goes up, his, you know, at the moment his speed can kind of, and his attacking play gets him out of it. As he goes up the levels, he's going to need to, if he does, he's going to need to sort out his defensive play. But ninth, really, really positive, really, really positive that we haven't got to play them a lot on Saturday. There isn't, you know, I thought the atmosphere was decent on Saturday. We sold out, apparently. We're still plenty of seats, obviously, which, is, again, don't get me started on it. Exactly the same as Notts County, with the amount of money that the club must lose. And again, I still don't know whether or not we've got a great mechanism to put tickets back on sale. I've not done it.
But again, this is stuff I talk about, the propaganda from the club where they put out a sellout crowd and then you watch it or you look at pictures and it's not just a few seats down. In the East Stand, there's loads of empty seats.
It was a bundle. Loads. And I said, I've been contacted.
And I'm not having it. A lot of people go from the East Stand and stand in the South Stand and they fill that up instead.
I'm not buying that.
There's
at all.
There's lots of either season ticket holders who don't fancy the incentive that the club offer and think no thanks, or there's just the mechanism is, as you said, isn't correct, or the work of it ain't correct. But this is where it winds me up, because the club go, oh yeah, sold, and I kind of get it. On paper, it probably is sold out, but it ain't. Do you know what I mean? It just makes us look stupid, I think, when we're saying sold out, get your tickets, you know what I mean? Sell out game at Plough Lane. And you look at it and it's like, well, wait a minute, there's like 100 seats in the East Stand still. Like, you can see some of the writing of the Dons on there. Do you know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
But we're about a third of the way in the league, ninth. Happy?
I am pretty happy. It's a better squad than last year. We're playing better than we have done previous weeks. We're having our moments as well. I still think we're going to have a special moment this year in the FA Cup. We've got to be looking at beating Ramsgate quite easily with the team that we have and the team that we can put out. We should be then in the third round. And as you said, we'll probably know the draw before that. Get a massive game there. That's good for us. I still don't get... Jackson, for me, isn't... He doesn't pull up trees, but I think he's doing a good job. And I think every time we lose a game and people go mental straight away after it, oh, he's got to go. There is things I don't like, his subs, like-for-like subs and stuff, but we have got better players. Ali and stuff have come in under Jackson's watch. Do you know what I mean? And we still play some really decent football and score some decent goals. So,
you know, ultimately, he'll be judged on where the players finish, and right now, we're ninth.
He's performing above our budget and what he's probably been told.
Yes, without doubt. So when you look at it that way, then yeah, so well done to him. As I said, you know, people have got their thoughts on him and blah, blah, blah. But right now, yeah, fair play to him. And hopefully we'll get through the break without a huge amount of injuries as we come up to what will always be a very, very, very ridiculously busy Christmas. So, yeah, happy days.
I love Christmas football as well.
Of course you do. but you hate Christmas, yeah?
Big hate of Christmas.
Yeah,
as well.
Big hate of Christmas, but you love Christmas football.
It's overrated, Christmas. People go mental over it. You spend loads of money. You have to spend it with people you don't really like that much. Yeah,
Just imagine all of them people who've got to spend their Christmas with you. Just think about that.
I'd happily spend Christmas on my own.
I thought you were going to say, I'll be happy to spend Christmas with me.
No, I might even go at work Christmas Day. It's triple paying it, so... Get that meter running. Right. We'll move on. And when we come back, we'll do question time. We'll answer the questions that you sent in to us. We have no idea who sent them in. So thanks very much. But yeah, we'll come back and we'll answer them.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We're back and we're going to be answering your questions that you sent in to us. Again, thanks very much for sending them in. I'm going to click on the first one that we had in. Right.
So, yeah, so basically we put up online the opportunity for everyone to ask loads of different questions. Obviously, Lee's filtered them, so if there are any ones that are particularly Lee-centric, I do apologise on behalf of the whole fan base. Lee has kicked out all of the ones that are asking me about my personal email and stuff, obviously. So I am married, for anyone as well, all those lady listeners as well. Just, you know, behave yourself. I'm off the market. Do you want any disclosure thing for you, Lee, about being off the market, or do they already know?
Never off the market.
Aye. Got to play the market, play the field.
Player's going to play.
Hey, I've always said that.
Don't ever go to the player, ever go to the game.
You're like the Aaron Sasso of the game, aren't you, at the moment?
But We never filter anything, to be fair. We answer any question. Every question that was asked, we'll try and answer, because there is quite a few, actually. But I thought we'd get about five, and we got about 55. It's mad.
Ah, okay. Well, yeah, in that case, David Dimbleby, Newsnight. I know you're a big fan of it. You crack on, mate.
And these were anonymous as well. I don't know who sent them in. Someone could have sent in 100. Dan could have sent in the one about what does he really look like, a fat Ben Affleck? Do you know what I mean? That kind of one.
That joke eventually is going to run out. It's still got legs.
My joke's never run out. My joke's never run out.
Right, get on with it.
Right. How often do the club put pressure on you not to talk about various things, like Danny Macklin, for example? Well, I can answer that straight off the bat.
I think you should.
The club never put any pressure on us. They never speak to us, to be fair. They can't stand us, if being honest. but they never put any pressure on us. There was with the Danny Macklin stuff, they did want to hear the podcast before it went out. I had to speak to Misha a little regarding what was going to be said, because that was all quite sensitive at the time. Obviously, we were hearing lots of rumours of why Danny left, but we were never going to talk about the rumours because, obviously, again, it was people involved with jobs and stuff, so we couldn't really talk about it that much. But the club never put any pressure on us.
And do you know what, Lee? If I'm really honest with you, and I'm not just saying this, but it's actually a massive blessing that we have nothing to do with the club. On the fact of it, just basically means that we can talk about this, anything we want to talk about, we can have it. In terms of the people, anyone who's been on the podcast will know, and the ones who haven't, our setup is really, really simple. It's just literally, we're on a Zoom chat. Me and Lee will WhatsApp. I've created like a Google sheet with loads of different ideas and different things we can talk to. I've made an incredibly ambitious list of guests I want, which is absolutely ridiculous. We're not going to get any of them. But in all seriousness, it is literally just a case of, we put down some ideas, we have a chat for 5 minutes before the episode comes on, and then our guest comes and joins if they want to join in. And again, we're open to it. So the club pressure thing is interesting, but I love the fact that we have nothing to do with them. I think it just means that we don't have any kind of bias, or we when Lee asked me to come and do it ages ago, he just said, look, I just want it to be two lads almost in a pub coffee shop, just chatting about Wimbledon. And hopefully it comes across in that way. So, no, I've never really received any kind of pressure from Lee or anybody else, and hopefully we won't, because if the powers that be took a second and just thought about it, what are we trying to do? If they actually stopped, they'd actually realise that what we're trying to do is actually be really, really positive about the whole thing. But the club have always kind of put us as this is a negative, rather than actually we're trying to be productive. And it has been it's been quite evident that stuff we've been talking about has often happened at the club. We've been talking about something and 2 minutes later, there's a podcast. Oh, what, randomly we started talking about it. Now that happened and this happened. Well, now it's happened now. So I'm quite proud of the fact that people are obviously listening to it. Hopefully they understand that it's meant in the right way. Well, from my perspective, I can't talk about you, Lee, but from my perspective, we come in peace. We're just talking about a football club that we're very, very passionate about. And hopefully you lot listening so are exactly the same.
Oh, no, I totally agree. And that's one of the reasons why I never signed the charter that the club asked us to sign when we wanted to speak to some people from the Donnerstrasse and we wanted to speak to some players at the time. One thing I'm glad is that, as I said, Danny Macklin, when he was involved, did tell us we couldn't do the Craig Cope interview because he was upset with regards to a joke that we made regarding Mike Buckley. Everything that we do, me, Dan, anyone who's involved, Jamie Wainwright that was involved when we first started, still he's going to be involved, wants to come on. Joe, who does our graphics, we are very passionate about Wimbledon. We love it. It is our opinion. So I never say, Danny, I don't think you can say that. I don't think you should do that. We have a little chat about what subjects we're going to do and say, actually, I don't think that'll work. This will work. It's my opinion. I don't always agree with Danny. Danny don't always agree with me. We're just, unfortunately, we are quite like-minded with the way we think. The club have never put any pressure on us. And if they tried, I don't think I'd have it, because it is one thing I wanted to do when I started the podcast was by the fans, for the fans. And there's a question coming up. I've looked at a few of them. There's a question coming up which does make me laugh, and Danny will probably be the same. But, yeah, the club don't put pressure on us. They never will if they tried. I like the fact now we get a lot of ex-players on, a lot of people that have been at the club. They love coming on and chatting to us. Everyone who's chatted to us and people that have come on the pod love it. The setup is simple as anything. It's quite funny, to be fair. People think it's some big kind of show. It ain't really. It takes 2 seconds to set up. But yeah, that was the first question we had. I thought that was quite a good one, to be fair. But
yeah, it was good.
So second question we have was favourite away day since our return to the Football League can be one specific game or a favourite ground to go to in general. Dan, do you want to answer that?
Yeah. In terms of when we return to the Football League, I think the Bradford away game was for importance was massive. The energy there, the Ramsdale thing, us being there for ages, also that the size of the stadium was big. I also thought bizarrely that I think we played in the FA Cup, we played Millwall, we lost 3-1 maybe.
Oh, that wasn't in the Football League though. We weren't in the Football League then.
I felt okay. Well, in that case, that was the reason why that was a relatively big one for me was that it was the first time I felt that we were at a proper stadium, and I was like, oh wow, like we've almost kind of completed the circle, if you like. That was quite a big one in terms of that. Obviously, Liverpool at home was wicked, Arsenal away, Tottenham at Wembley, actually going to Wembley and watching a game. It's too easy to talk Plymouth and stuff like that. But in terms of away games, obviously, as I've been mentioning a while back, I've been trying to do the sort of the 91, 92, whatever you want to call it, which has been quite interesting. So there's been some really, really interesting grounds on that. Quite liked Rotherham away. Quite liked Shrewsbury. I thought that was all right. But I guess if you're talking about great result, important game, atmosphere, energy, I think it would be Accrington away in the playoff semi-final.
I was going to say, I weren't there for that, and get ribbed constantly for that.
And the Luton game away with Ramsdale being an absolute machine and sending scoring right to the death. That was chaos, and just Wordsworth just jumping in the crowd. They were probably two games that really, really stick out. But how about you?
Carlisle away for me when we drew 4-4.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because, one, when you get back out there, Carlisle's the furthest trip you can go to. Carlisle, I thought, was going to be an absolute dump. It's really nice. Really nice. I'd stay up there. Really nice place to go. Load of good bars, good pubs. Yeah, it was really good. Another one for me is the Orient. I love going, like, a local one where it's a London.
Oh, Leighton Orient.
Yeah. No, Orient Express. There's only one Orient, mate.
There's only one.
And obviously, and Southend as well. When we played Southend, I think we four scored a hat-trick. I had a load of boys come down for
that. Oh, yeah, yeah, he did, yeah.
And obviously, living here, I took all the lads on a bit of a pub call down by the seafront. So we started at the first pub, and then we ended up, there was an old Jack the Ripper's in, an old strippers where you put a pound in a glass, like the Robert Peel used to be at.
Yeah,
that's gone now. And it was one of them gaffes that you put a pound in to put their clothes back on. It was that ropey in there. But I took the boys from all the pubs down there, had a great day. Four scored a hat trick, I think it was that game.
Yeah.
But Carlisle for me was just being back in the Football League, travelling all that way out there. I like, again, Bradford, we know the Bradford boys and got there all the time. But yeah, I like the local ones. I think a few of my mates probably would say, I've never been, but Peterborough. Peterborough was for them. They went down by the barge. There's a barge bar there. And another one for me, Charlton away. I don't like Charlton. One of my mates, really good mate of mine, Carl, he's a Charlton fan. But going to Charlton on the boat. So you get the boat down the Thames, get off at Greenwich and go to Charlton. I was absolutely ruined by the time I got off the boat. But the boat trip's always good. So, yeah. Thanks for that question. Right. So, next one. If someone came in to buy the club, would you consider it?
Yes. Next question. I would consider it because I kind of feel like we're in a position where we could move on. And I've been really appreciative of the fan experience and the fan ownership, but I kind of feel like we've reached a point now where we're almost too scared to make the next step. I'm totally understand it. I fully appreciate the challenges that are associated with something like that. But personally, I feel like we've done what we set out to achieve, which was get back to where we are, get back to Plough Lane. And I now feel like we owe it to ourselves to give ourselves a chance to really impact on the football world. That's just me. I totally get, and I'm very empathetic, and I understand. And in many ways, I can understand and agree with other people's point of views. But that's me.
I'm on the same page as you, exactly the same page. I think, yeah, you're right with what you just said at the end there regarding, I think we have to look at it. We'd have to consider it. Not saying we would accept it. It depends. If I came in and said, look, I've got five bob, can you sell me the club? It's obviously a no. If someone come in and say, I've won the Euro lottery, I've got 185 million, I want to now own the club. I'm a Wimbledon fan. We'd have to consider it. We'd have to look at it. One thing that really grates on me is if you're pro sell or if you're not, it's literally black and white. There's no discussions or debates or anything anymore. It's literally, why would you do that? Have you and some of the young fans get this a lot, is that, you weren't there when it happened. And it's like, well,
and this
I
is
was.
This, and this is where the cock up is. For me, if it's about... If you're pro being a fan club because you feel like the opportunities are better to be a pro fan club, I get it. If you're pro club because of fan owned because you want to feel part of the community and you want to be an active part of it, I get it. If you're somebody that goes, I don't want whatever happens to happen again, that is where my line is. Mm. And I just find it really difficult because it's kind of like you always use the analogy about an ex-girlfriend. At some point, you can't keep looking back and going, well, this was then. If we did that, we'd never get where we got.
Well, it's like living.
You have to kind of get forward on it.
It's like living in the bedsit with an absolute beautiful bird, right? Stunning bird. She's really nice, right? Then you split up. She goes and cheats on you. Now you've got another stunning bird, but you've got your own house now. Do you know what I mean? You live in a better house. We've got our own house now. This is Plough Lane. As long as we can put some stuff on the Plough Lane, what is it, tingents or something, that will be our home forever, then I don't see why not. But yeah, I'm with you. I'm exactly the same page as you. I would consider it. I think we should have considered it when Darren McAnthony came in.
Darren
McAnthony, yeah. Do you know what I mean? So, next question's pretty similar. Could we persuade Vinnie Jones to buy the club? He must have loads of cash.
Lovely. He is my absolute hero of the whole world. I don't often really hunt celebrities or anything like that. We'll talk a little bit about it later. But if I could interview one person, if I could have one person, I'm desperate before I'm 50 to get Vinnie Jones to sign my old Wimbledon shirt. I've got four Jones on the back. I'd love him just to sign it. It would make my entire world. But I don't really want him to buy us, to be brutally honest with you. I'd rather someone who had a bit more business acumen, who wasn't Vinny. I love Vinny to pieces, but I don't think he's the right owner. So, crack on.
Robbie L's my hero.
All right. Get over yourself.
Our fans who think refs have an agenda against the FA hate us are deluded and just have ego issues. They don't care about us. I have to agree with that. I tend to think that the refs, like on Saturday, you said it straight away, the ref had an agenda. No ref has an agenda over Wimbledon. They're just crap refs sometimes.
Yeah, I didn't think,
give a shit about us. I don't think because of what happened previously, they had this agenda that, you know what I mean, we're not fit for purpose and stuff. I don't, you know what I mean? The FA have got bigger things to fry about than AFC Wimbledon.
On Saturday, like I said, I completely agree with you. Saturday, I just felt he had an agenda about him doing what he was doing, not against us, because I thought he was poor both ways. I just felt that he was the kind of guy that felt that he had to assert himself by giving out loads of yellows, which led to two red cards, which probably when you look back here, the two reds, I don't actually have a huge amount to argue about, but there was a few yellows and a few fouls, and I was like,
I think it's just officiating at the moment in this country is just not very good. We've seen it in the Premier League, and they've got VAR helping them out, and I don't think VAR is such a bad thing as long as it's used properly. It's not being used properly. It's horrendous because the refs in this country, it's referees always take the game about themselves. They always make it about themselves, always have done. David Ellery used to do it. Do you know what I mean? Who's the other one that used to live in
Mike
Tring?
Dean.
Not Mike Dean, the other one before him. What's his name?
Mike Boddenham?
There was a ref who always made sure he looked good. And
Clattenburg?
No, it won't. Clattenburg's another one who always made it about him as well. But there's always been a ref who always makes it about him. It always have done. Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, I just think refs are unfortunately pretty bad. There's nothing against Wimbledon. We just unfortunately come up against bad ones. If given time, do you think Davison could play off Bugle? Hasn't really had an opportunity to do that this year, and I've never thought of him as a target man.
I think you can never say never. But I guess, and I guess the question was more as opposed to he could play off Bugyal, of course he could, but to what level? Is he going to be a leading League Two striker at any club? I'm saying no. And I think that the biggest thing I would put it is I feel like Davison needs players around him to be good. Ali and Bugyal, just Bugyal's skills and work rate and physicality, he doesn't need Ali. He's just good himself because he works hard. I feel like Davison, to be successful, he needs someone to do a bit of work for him or do something for him. And I think that's, for me, the biggest concern. But for a backup striker, I'm not overly disappointed with Davison as such, but I don't think you get promoted with Davison starting for you in League Two.
I've been disappointed with Davison this year as a backup striker.
Okay.
Because we see him as a first-choice striker last year and he didn't do that bad, I don't know if it's the fact that Jackson's playing him a different this year because he was the one striker on his own last year. I don't know if he can play with Ali. I don't know if he can play with Bugyal. So who can he play with? Is it a 4-3-3 and him up top on his own with Nerful and Tilly? Do you know what I mean? I'm not 100% sure. I'd like to see him get more minutes and play with one or the other, not come on for Bugyal. But yeah, I think you're right. Bugyal also comes into midfield, which I don't think Davison could do.
I agree.
He couldn't do that role as well. And I think he wants to be more like Ali, but Ali is Ali and he's better than him by a country mile.
I think Davison's a really good team player. I think he'll work hard for the team as such. But for Davison to have real success in our game, I don't think he's the kind of player who would do it on his own.
Also,
and I don't think he does enough. He needs to be, someone needs to give him a chance. I don't think he's the kind of guy who gets the ball, runs at you. I don't think he scores the goal that Ali scores against Doncaster, put it that way.
I also can't take him seriously with that Barnet that he's got. So,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sure, right, I don't know how we're going to answer this question.
All right.
Shag, marry, kill, it's good.
But... Oh, nice. That's always a nice start.
Chris Stewart, Joe Palmer, Danny Macklin.
Kill.
Shag, marry, or kill. And the three people are Chris Stewart, Danny Macklin, and Joe Palmer. Don't really want to kill anyone because I'm not really like that. Do you know what I mean?
I definitely don't want to
Maybe give a slap, not kill, because we don't want people complaining that we're now threatening violence.
But I don't want to have sex with any of them either.
Danny Macklin? Do you know what I mean? And then.
Jesus, that is a horrible question. I think if I spin it, I'm not going to. I can't talk about
it. I'd slap them all, that's about it.
I think so. It's Chris Stewart, Danny Macklin, and Joe Palmer. Of the three, I would always push for Danny Macklin over the others in terms of what they did in for us.
Oh, see,
then Stewart and then Joe. I thought Joe Palmer came with a lot and did nothing.
Yeah, well, we knew that was going to. With me, this is going to surprise people. This will surprise people a lot. I'm not Chris Stewart's biggest fan, right? But we have to remember that Chris Stewart is a diehard Wimbledon fan. And has been for many years. I know he stepped away and it's one of my big bugbears with him that he walked away and stuff, but he has come back. He is a passionate Wimbledon fan and I've known him since the Thomas Farley days at Selhurst. Do you know what I mean? When he was there on the front line protesting everything. So let's sometimes forget that these people are, and this is what people always say to me about the Don Strauss and stuff. So out of the three of them, Chris is the most passionate Wimbledon fan there is out there, out of the three of them. Yeah. So I think Chris.
There's no argument on that, yeah.
As I said, I'm not a big fan of his politics. I'm not the fan that he walked away and then came back. And since he's come in as MD, things have improved with some of the stuff that's going on. Stewards, water tops. So let's give him a little bit of credit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay.
I hope we get a proper professional MD. Danny Macklin probably deserves a slap for, do you know what I mean, giving up his job and now whinging about it every 5 minutes. And Joe Palmer probably deserves a slap as well, but that's about it. Right. What has been your most listened to episode and who has been your best guest? So okay, I've gone through the figures of the episode.
Oh, okay, nice one.
So our best one at the moment is our pre-season one that we had.
This year?
Yeah, this year. So it's gone. When I first started the podcast, we were hitting around about 200 to 300 plays an episode. We're now on average around about between 900 and 1,000 plays per episode. Right, so you think we've got, 8,000 fans at home games. I don't know the percentage, but it's, what is it, Dan? About, I don't know.
12%?
12% of people that go to a home game listen to our podcast, which I am massively proud of and everything. I think I sometimes forget how far we've come with regards to the podcast. And I thank every single person that listens, even if you hate what we're doing or hate it. Anyone who listens, I really do appreciate it. But I think it was about 1,500 we had for a preseason one. The player interviews and the ex-pro interviews and the Robinsons, they've all hit about 900 to 1,000. But yeah, me and you just talking nonsense in preseason was our best wow. one. Best guest, really hard one for me, this, because we've interviewed, and I always forget again, I've interviewed Laurent Richards, the boxer, Wimbledon yeah. fan. I've interviewed Dave Anderson. We've interviewed Robinson, Palmer. Do you know what I mean? Recently, I had Ross Standen and Andy Sullivan on.
Yeah.
And it just blows my mind that we have them on. I even enjoyed speaking to Danny Macklin and stuff when he was MD at the club and getting insights of what's going on behind the club. And this is why I said we're not a foe of the club. Do you know what I mean? Come on, we'll ask the hard questions, and that's what people want to hear sometimes.
I think my favourite was Terry Burton.
Terry Burton, yeah.
I felt that was a really good sort of flow of a bloke who probably, and what's interesting is when you sort of get these guests, the first couple of minutes, everyone's they're kind of a little bit standoffish and a bit, oh, I don't know, and all of a sudden they loosen off. And they realise, because also ultimately, some of these, let's be honest, I doubt Terry Burton's listening to much of what we do. But the fact that when we first started, it was a bit cagey, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, okay, they're just two lads who are just chatting about football. And then all of a sudden he was giving us loads of stuff. I just thought, particularly when we were talking about the old Egil Olsen stuff, Damian Francis one as well was quite funny, listening to it and being like, oh my God, what is going on here?
I'd love to get Dave Anderson back on, because we did, I think me and Jamie did him like the second week we did the podcast, we got him on straight away. Yeah, so Laurent Richards came on pretty early doors as well.
Yeah,
Ollie Palmer, as much as his ego and stuff really annoy me sometimes, and some of the stuff he comes out of now at Wrexham and that he went, he was brilliant to chat to. He spoke to me and Jamie for about 45 minutes, an hour after we'd recorded, just sitting in his house, just talking to us about football.
I quite like the episode. No, I actually don't have a problem with him either. I've got no issues with him at all.
But yeah, and we've got many guests to come as well. As I said earlier, Danny's got this list of guests he wants to get on, from some absolute unrealistic shouts like Egil Olsen and things like that. But yeah, we are working on it. And as I said, I was working on doing an episode of every other week doing, but it just works crazy at the moment. So, right, another question. This one's going to be funny, Dan. The answer's going to be me. If you were both asked to become the Wimbledon manager tomorrow, who would do a better job out of the two of you?
Well, I don't even think that's even a question. That's obviously going to be me.
Well, I know you coach kids at school. I've done proper coaching, Sunday league, kids coaching.
Yeah, but it won't be about tactics. It'll just be who gets on better with the players, and they'll all be like, who's this twat? And whereas me, it'll be like, look at this inspirational Churchill type character.
My man. Manager.
How would you approach it? Would you come in and be like, look, my name's Lee, or my name's, you know, Boss, and tell them all about how much you love the club and this sort of stuff? Or would you just be like, no, I'm just going to detach myself and be more, who'd be your backroom team? That'd be the good one.
Yeah, my dear backroom team.
I think I'd have to come in and be quite humble, but be like, ultimately I'm a Wimbledon fan, and this is me, and this is why I think this club is brilliant, and why you're brilliant, and how much
why are you blowing smoke up their ass when they're up? No, I'd be coming in and going, oi boys, right? It ain't been great, to be fair, the last couple of years.
Are you joking? We're playing ninth in the league, mate.
Oh yeah, so let's keep Johnny Jackson in then. No need for us to come in. We've been brought in to do a job, and I would do a job. I'd be a better manager than you.
I can see you with Harry Pell and Lee Brown getting absolutely battered in some Guildford nightclub somewhere. That's what I can see.
Sounds good to me.
That sounds good for you.
Right, this is the question, right? I did look at this one, right? And I thought this was hilarious. Whoever sent this in literally does not listen to our podcast. Can we get a more diverse section of the fan base on? I'm sure plenty of listeners would love to come on. Can you put out an open invite and have different fan on each week? Is it whoever sent this in, man, woman, or child, are they winding us up? Because we literally say at the end of every episode, if you want to come in, message us, come on the podcast, right? If I don't reply to you straight away, just like we've got an interview coming up with an ex-player. He messaged me a few times person who got it said, look, boys, stop ignoring it. And it was like, I don't deliberately ignore people. I'm just sometimes I'm driving for hours,
right,
come home,
fine. Turn the shit off. But from now on, then I will add to my spreadsheet. I'll make a fans line. If anyone's interested, anybody wants to do it from this moment, and we'll even put one more tweet out. Anyone wants to do it, all you've got to do is put your name down on it. I will write it down on the list. And what we'll do is we'll keep, because I actually prefer it when there's three people on it. Because me and Lee have relatively similar opinions. More than happy to. Love, you know, there's been some old muckers of mine, you know, Rob Salem, Ollie Lewis, my mate Dan Lewis. It's been wicked having different people on. We haven't had Buzz on this year, so it'd be great to have him on. It's brilliant having new people on coming to talk about.
Also,
we've
had a girl called Sydney used to come on all the time.
Yeah, she's cool.
I did message her again, see if she wanted to come on. I think she's quite busy in her own life at the moment, which does happen. We're happy to get women on. Do you know what I mean? Anyone who wants to come on, come on. And yeah, we'll happily talk everything AFC Wimbledon. And that's why I thought it was quite funny. How would you lift the atmosphere at Plough Lane? I'm anti-drum, but not against all instruments, e.g. bugle or thunder sticks. I'm guessing they mean bugle, but bugle, bugle, whatever it is.
Omar Bugle.
Yeah.
Bugle.
It's like a little horn. Yeah, I've said this before, and we said it. I think we need a section in the South Stand that is solely for singing. Everyone wears the same kind of uniform, like an ultra section. People are against ultras. It's worked at Arsenal. Palace do it very well, even though I hate saying that. My mate Ubo, I love that. He's a massive Palace fan. And I think a singing section, I don't think we've helped ourselves by selling debentures. I know we had to because we had to raise money. But the problem now, you've got people that don't take up their seats sometimes in areas, and there'll be scattered people around instead of just, like, we want to move our seats maybe next year from the East Stand into the South Stand. No, I said we might. A few people love the East Stand. I wouldn't mind moving in. But we wouldn't be able to do it because there's the benches here. We wouldn't be able to get 30 of us in one section. Do you know what I mean?
And then
you
have that.
I think you need to get one big section. That's for me.
I wouldn't do too much different. I'm not big on a drum or anything like that. All I've said before is to try and simplify the songs a bit easier, because some of the songs are absolutely brilliant. The way the wordsmanship of the songs is fantastic. They're really witty, creative, but they're not particularly catchy enough where my old man can hear it. Mm. Whereas if you made the songs a bit simpler, you'll get it. I do feel like we're still a little bit spread, and what we need to do is try and create an environment where we're all a bit closer. Yep. But I think that will definitely help the environment eventually.
We have spoken about this on previous episodes as well, so I don't want to go into it too long. Got so many more questions, and we've gone time. Right, chaps, who do you think will lose in the January transfer window, and what will be our main priority buying a striker? Will that be our main priority? I think we'll keep Ali in January. I think I think he's gone in the summer. I think we'll keep him now. Why does he need to leave now? He's got international duty in January as well. I think he'll stay, and then we'll leave. I think the one player we are going to lose in the summer, that's Jack Curry. I think Jack Curry will be gone in January. Too good. He's also out of contract in the summer, and I don't want to be losing him for nothing.
No, but at the same time, we won't get a lot for him in January.
No, but
I guess it will just be an interesting one from a club perspective, what they perceive as the opportunities from January, whether or not they feel like, do you know what, we can have a punter going up, whether they feel like, well, actually, what, maybe we'll just solidify, maybe. But I would be guessing, if I'm being bold, I'd be guessing that Ali, Billa, Curry won't be with us next year. Mm. And I think Billa will be. I don't think he will be. And the reason
his injury record so bad, he won't pass a fitness test anywhere else.
Yeah, no, but I feel like there'll be an amount of money that we'll want or we'll be thinking about, and I think they'll be worth a punt. I think he's good enough to be £1 million or something like that, but I don't think he will. I think there'll be someone will come with £500,000, and we'll be like, "Well, hold on a minute." Their conversation will be, "Well, he's injury prone, bloody contracts." That will be my concern. Is January, whether or not? It'll be an interesting January. I think I'd rather Ali was sold in January, but we had him back on loan.
I'm the summer. That won't happen because we're not selling him to Madrid, mate.
We might send him to Leeds or something, and Leeds might go,
will,
right,
have no,
it,
but Leeds
go
will
back.
Put him in. My worry is summer, because at the moment we've got Curry, Little, Bugle out of contract in the summer. Do you know what I mean? So that would be my worry at the moment. I still think we'll lose Curry now, because he's the only one with a bit of sell on that we have, and yeah, we don't want to be losing him. Would you like Ivor Heller back presenting Man of the Match Awards? To be fair, I don't watch the Man of the Match Awards. I'm not there after the game. If Ivor wants to do it, then yeah, I've not watched them. I know Mick Dawes banging that drum quite a lot. One thing I do know about Ivor, again, I've not always got along with Ivor regards to his, like, other than Wimbledon. The man is passionate about Wimbledon, loves it massively. Some of the things that people don't know about Ivan, the things that he's lost because of this football club, is just unbelievable. If he wants to do it and he's good at it still, then yeah, get him back on it. But I've got no opinion really, because I don't watch him.
I'm exactly the same. I've literally got no opinion at all.
Who are your all-time favourite Wimbledon and AFC Wimbledon players? So Danny's already said, I think, his one is...
Vinnie Jones for Wimbledon, and for AFC Wimbledon, it's Rob Ursell.
So, Robbie Hill, Wimbledon. Alan Kimball, Wimbledon. Lyle Taylor was up there for AFC Wimbledon. Danny Kedwell for AFC Wimbledon is the one. They're the boys, they're the ones I name my kids after. Danny Kedwell and Alan Kimball. So,
not Wallaby there, no?
No, I'm missing. I wanted my firstborn Jack. I wanted him to be called Ekuku Kimball Finch, and my missus said no at the time.
Yeah, no, maybe not. Yeah.
Do we have a new MD yet? No idea.
No
idea. There is
the rumor mill, isn't it, about the guy from Sutton? But
there's
we
a
don't
guy
know
from
that,
Sutton has come in, because he's massively banging the Wimbledon drum. Everything he tweets now is about Wimbledon. He's come in at some role. He was doing a COO role or something at Sutton.
Chief Operating Officer. Yeah.
Yeah, he was doing it. Well, I don't even know if he was doing that. I think he'd been doing the one below that at Sutton. I sent it to you straight away. I said, Blimey, is this going to be the new MD? Apparently, we're interviewing for the new MD. Second interviews are taking place as we speak, kind of thing. But at the moment, I don't know who it is. We need a new MD. Again, as I said earlier, Chris is passionate. For me, he's not the right man to be
the
director for me. And I think... Yeah, it's a weird one, that one, because no one's even announced this guy yet. Do you know what I mean? But he's obviously working at the club. That's what really annoys me about the club when things like this happen. So he's obviously come in from Sutton. He's doing a job at Wimbledon, and it's not been announced.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's weird, isn't it?
Do you know what I mean? But yeah, as I said, I understand that second interviews are taking place, and hopefully we'll hear soon. So that's all I know.
That's good.
Do you think we should sell up if we want to progress? I think we answered that earlier.
Definitely answered that, yeah.
Yeah, so... Did you really forget to record the Macklin fallout stuff, or did TalkSport lawyers have a word? Very unlike you boys not to reference it or revisit it after. This is 100%. It's not we didn't record. My system crashed at home, so I think.
To give everyone the context, Damien France's interview, you may or may not remember, when we finished it, we were all done, and me and Lee were chatting to Damien Francis, and then Lee just went completely off
my power
off the computer,
went, yeah.
And I was talking to Damien Francis for another 20-odd minutes about life and whatever else it was. And then we were panicking because Lee had done – we then did the Macklin bit, which, by the way, in terms of content, I thought was it was ridiculously good. So we did it, and then afterwards Lee checked and was like, oh my God, what about the... And he was looking at both the recordings. We only found one, which was the Francis one. If I'm really, really honest with you, and again, I'll be blunt, I spoke to Lee about what the next episode. I said, I really think we should revisit it. Lee was quite happy not to. And if now I look back at it, I think it was the right move not to, because it kind of done a death. It was all done and dusted, and we could have spoken about it, and yeah, we could have given you an opinion if you like. But I kind of agree with Leah now. When I look back at it, we would have just been flogging a dead horse a little bit, and I felt like it kind of played out. Everyone had done their piece. It was all over Twitter. Yes, we could have spoken about it, but there was other stuff to talk about that week, and I think it was right not to do it again. But yeah, genuinely didn't lose it.
The thing about it as well is my power went, and I came back. And it was recording still. So I was like, right. So I pressed record again. It said recording in place. This is what happens when we do Zoom. So me and Danny's right. It was probably a really good bit of content.
Really good.
But when I spoke to Danny again, we'd already spoken about it on the debrief. Loads of people got involved with regards to that. I think we revisited once it all came out again. We went over it again regarding once it all come out in the press and, do you know what I mean, the club put out statements. And I think Danny's right. We kind of, everyone had their say on it. The debrief, people had their say on it on there. And yeah, it was done to death. So, but yeah, one thing that me and Danny, and we've said this before, we won't hide or shirk from big things. We'll talk about it and have our opinion on stuff. There's some stuff you can't talk about.
Generally though, Lee, I don't think we've ever lied on here. Genuinely, and I'm not just saying it, there has not been a single thing that we've lied about, and there hasn't been anything where at some point we haven't spoken about it and touched base on it, whether it's right or wrong, or whether we've done this or done that. We spoke about not talking about different things, and obviously what the club wanted. We've never lied or hidden anything, and I don't see why. We've got nothing to hide. There's nothing in it. There's no, if the club said you can't do it, we'll just say, look, we can't do it. The club have spoken about this, and that's that. There's nothing else really with it. So, yeah, no, interesting. It is just interesting that people, the conspiracy theories, and I understand it, but no, we haven't hid anything at all.
Yep. Where will we be in 5 years, 10 years and 20 years? What league and what ownership model? 5 years, I think we possibly could be in League One. 10 years and 20 years is really hard to say because it depends on how fast football moves. It moves very, very quickly nowadays. Money is everything in regards to football. Ownership model, I probably can still see us being a fan-owned club and probably being in League Two, unfortunately. For me, personally, I'd like to see us have a bit of ambition. The Championship in 5 years is what we were told a good few years ago. I hope we have them ambition still. And whatever way we look at it, we are looking at selling the club, not selling it, but going down to a 50+1 model. I hope people are looking at that and voting or putting their piece in, because that has gone out from the Don's Trust. We do bash them enough on here, but they have put that out there for people to have their say on. 5 years, I still think we'll be around League One or League Two. 10, 20 years, hopefully we'll be pushing on from the Championship. Danny?
I feel like once we get, I feel that the 50+1 will happen at some point, but I don't think it will ever be owned by somebody else. I think it will just be 50+1, and I think that will be enough for most. I feel like with that model and where football is going, I feel like League One is a definite possibility. If we get in the Championship, we'll be like the Wickham. It'll be like, oh wow, you managed to go. I can't see us being able to go up and stay up. Whether we would be a Championship, League One yo-yo, I'm not convinced. I feel like from you look at the attendances and stuff and everything else from a club perspective, I feel like we should be at the higher end of League One, of League Two, or the bottom end of League One. So I feel like from a club perspective, that's kind of where we're at. Obviously, you know, Wimbledon FC punched above its weight. And there might be a 10, I don't know, 15 kind of year slot where we really, really punched hard and we were Championship. Don't ever see Premier League. And I don't really want to be honest with you.
I think it depends on if there's a European Super League at the time, say 10, 20 years, it could be. And then it depends on when we fall into the rest of the categories, because they do a European Super League and some of them clubs disappear. We probably would then move into a League One kind of.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, we're going to have to kick on, Dan, because we've been going on for 31 minutes and I've still got tons of questions left.
All right.
You're playing in a match against the 9 years boys, a 50-50 tackle. Which one of them are you 2-footing?
Jeez.
Wouldn't need to 2-foot any of them, because we'd be 10 times better than any single one of them. If you've seen them 9 years boys, yeah, me and Danny would probably shit all over them, just ourselves against.
But we'd buy them a drink after.
You might. Yeah, 2-foot, probably all of them, to be fair. Is Ali Al-Hamadi the best player to put on the Wimbledon shirt?
No.
No.
We did this the other week. I don't think he is, but I think in terms, and again, I hate the word potential, it drives me mad, but his ceiling could be higher than a lot of other players we've had. But is he better than Niall Taylor? No, I don't
John
think
Maine,
he is.
Rob Ursels. Do you know what I mean? At the time, they were what we needed and they were brilliant. And I think if we could have Ali for 4 or 5 years, possibly, but it'll be gone in the summer at least. So I don't think he will be. I think people have got there's a big hype train for Ali, and it's probably deserved because he's scoring goals and looking good. But my thing is, why it's switched on for him at Wimbledon, which happens. Why has it never worked for him before? Do you know what I mean? He's been at Wickham, Swansea. Wickham, you think that would have been made for him. It never worked. So maybe he should think about the grass is not always greener and maybe staying for Wimbledon for a little while longer if he wants to have a good career.
But... yeah, he's young enough. He's young enough to do it. But no, I think there's... I could think of probably 10 or 12 players who are better than Ali who's played for Wimbledon. So, yeah.
So where would you strengthen in January?
Where would I strengthen in January? Well, I think the bigger, I think one of the bigger questions is, I think from a squad perspective, I'd like Morgan Williams to come back. Morgan Williams for Lakin makes a lot of sense to me. If Lakin's not getting much game time as it is, then let's have Morgan Williams back. I feel like if we want to be in the playoffs and have a really good run for the playoff run, or to maybe go up, we need another striker.
100%. That's the only one.
We need someone there. The rest of it, I'm quite happy with right back. If I want to be really, really greedy, I'd want another left back in case Curry got injured. A young, quick lad. But
I think if Curry goes, I think we need to bring in a left back, obviously, because I wouldn't want to go for the rest of the season with just Brown. I think we need to push off Pell possibly and bring in someone to replace him to play behind in a bugle position kind of thing, because that's not Pell, and I can't see Pell getting in any other position in the team.
And I reckon it's quite expensive as well, I'd argue.
And I think a striker is a must have, a young striker who has a bit of potential. But yeah, so. Right. It sounded like on the pod you've had to hold back from calling the Don's Trust wankers or tossers. Admirable job, but did you think it? No, I think the Don's Trust do a lot wrong, but they do some things right. There's a few on the Don's Trust I don't agree with and I don't like, and I haven't voted for them. But it is a democracy at the end of the day, and people have voted these people on. There's people on the Don's Trust like Michelle Little who work extremely hard, no matter your opinion on her personally. She, again, these are passionate people that love Wimbledon. They're not doing it to fuck us up or... do you know what I mean? To take us down. I hope they're not doing it to take us down. I know some people would...
I don't know how anyone could think that.
But do they do a bad job? Sometimes, yes. And me and Danny have called them out. A lot of Wimbledon fans have called them out. But as I said, with regards to the ownership model at the moment, they are asking questions about that. Only us can get involved in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. We will always call things out.
I don't think they're any... I don't have any... negative about them as people. I think they're all doing what they think is right and what they think is best. But I do feel like the Don's Trust as a whole, as a concept, is
outdated.
Yes, I think that's exactly the word. I think it might be a little bit outdated. I feel like maybe the mindset of those that have been in and around it is probably a bit dated, and maybe there's football's moving on. Maybe there's a different way of looking at it. But do I think they're those words? No, absolutely not.
I agree, and I think that's the thing. And we have called out the Don's Trust for stuff that they've done, and it's ridiculous sometimes. And you know what I mean? And yeah, it is what it is. But I don't believe anyone on there is deliberately trying to sabotage AFC Wimbledon or do things in a bad way. I think people sometimes take criticism a bit too hard and think that we're having a go at them personally, or they hear us saying stuff about the Don's Trust and go, "Well, it's a personal thing, ain't it? It's what me and Danny feel or an opinion." At that time regarding a structure at the club that we possibly don't agree with or we'd go a different way on. But
totally agree. Yeah.
Is it time for W Don commentary overhaul? Current duo are outdated and not moved with the times. Too busy with the shout-outs and trying to be funny. Need to be more professional IMO. Again, this is something that we've spoke about before. I'm not a big lover of the commentary. I am a big lover of Mikey T, though. I've known Mike for many, many years. Rob, again, I don't want to slate someone personally. Rob is a passionate Wimbledon fan who has been around this club for many, many years and gives a lot of time for the club. No, he's in it. I think it's a paid role, but that don't mean that he doesn't love the club and passionate about it.
Yeah.
Is he boring? In my opinion, yes. Mikey T, does he do a good job? Yes. Do they do a good job? It's okay for what it is. I'm not a big fan of it, but then I try and watch games more live than watching on TV, so it's probably not aimed at me. We've spoke about this before. Do I think they need to bring someone younger in as well? Yes. Would I like to hear more ex-players on there? Yes. Do you know what I mean? It does annoy me a little bit that sometimes, again, we don't let outsiders in. It's like it's a closed shop with regards to the W Don commentary team. The other day I was listening, I think it was a Tuesday night game. Rob was doing the commentary because Mikey T had to do the stadium announcing. Why not ask someone else to come in and do a bit of the commentary? Why Mikey T's doing the announcing? So you've not just got Rob until Mikey T's available. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And I said, I think they're worried that if someone comes in and they're really good, everyone will be like, well, you two are not needed anymore. Sorry. And they've been doing it for years. Let's not forget, they started W Don from scratch. Him, Mikey T, Rob, and I think it's Barry, I think his name is. I can't. BJ66. BJ66. I know that was his nickname. Remember that. Do you know what I mean? And they put a lot of effort. They go up and down the country doing it.
100%.
Is it outdated? Possibly. And I think they do maybe need a bit fresher and younger commentary.
I think the other challenge as well is that the fact that if someone wants to do it, they'll have to do it every single week. I don't think it's fair to have these guys go in and out and dive in and out. They put their hand up, they do it. I think they're decent. I think the other challenge as well, which is never easy, is the fact that more and more people are watching the games rather than listening to them. And sometimes it's kind of sometimes the commentary can be different because it's kind of, is it an audio or is it a radio or is it a TV show, if that makes sense? And I think sometimes people get a bit frustrated because you kind of like, it sounds like it's a radio game. I don't have a huge problem, but I don't really listen to them, to be honest with you. So if someone else wanted to do it, I don't think it would do any harm doing it. And obviously new guests and stuff are great, but I've listened to other people and other commentaries, and they're equally as average.
And again, these people are—they've signed a charter. They're in with the club. Rob will speak to Johnny Jackson and be at the training ground all the time, so he's not going to mug them off or take the piss out of them, and then have to deal with them on a professional level. Do you know what I mean? So let's take that into account as well.
Definitely.
Where do you see the future of the club going? 10 million debt, an incompetent board. Is this season's league position paving over the cracks of a terrible future? Not in my opinion. I don't think so. I think we're batting above average at the moment with ninth, and we've got a really bad budget. Yes, we have a debt. The only thing we can do is trust the people that we've put in charge. And again, it's a democracy. We have voted for these people to go on the board. I know they're co-opting people and ain't happy about that. But we have to trust that they've got the money in a thing. If it all goes tits up, then the people that want to sell the club will get their way, because we'll have to go into administration, which means we'll have to look for a buyer to come in and take the club forward. So, yeah, I don't think this paper's over the cracks. Things could be done better, and hopefully they will be done better. But again, I do believe a lot of the stuff at Wimbledon is outdated. And my main problem with the club is that we've got, and I've said this before, there's a lot of people within the club that are so scared of losing the role that they have. They're very snaky, very snide about the way they go about doing things. And there's no way of outsiders getting in who could do a better job. And people that are trained could do a better job. And that is my big, big issue with the club at the moment, and stuff like that. So
I don't think the club's in a particularly bad place. I know the debt is a worry and a concern, but I feel like if the absolute nightmare of nightmares, I still think that people would come up, and I think that the club itself has been so successful and it's been so positive. I cannot for the life of me see how it'll be in the best interest of everybody for the club to go absolutely belly up. So no, I don't worry about it at all.
And that was my only main issue is some people need to kind of let go. And if you ain't got trained people and they're not doing the greatest job, we rely on volunteers so much. But, and I'm not, again, this is not me having to go at the volunteers and stuff, because they're brilliant and we relied on them for so many years. But you wouldn't get someone who worked in a Subway to come and do Michelin fine dining. And that's what sometimes happens at our club.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you think the Don's Trust should be renamed as its purpose has changed to being a link between PLC and fans? Kind of gone over the Don's Trust quite a lot. I think we need more of a, like Danny said, not a fanzine, but a fans group, maybe instead of the Don's Trust, that then speaks to the PLC board, or we have two Don's Trust board members sitting on the PLC board and that's it. We only have, don't need such a big Don's Trust, but yeah, we can't keep going on about that all night. How many new players do you think we will need during the next summer transfer window? It's a tough one because it depends on who's
summer.
Yeah, the summer window. We've got Little, Bugle and Curry at the moment out of contract. Guessing we'll move on. Pierce, we'll guess some move on. Brown.
Pierce, Brown and Pell, we think, would be the main three.
One, yeah.
Zanev's got a really big decision to make, so I'd imagine he would go as well. Nightingale, obviously, would potentially.
Robinson be gone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, is that Robinson? Of course, I forgot about him. I guess it'd be the usual. We'll need another, I don't know, seven or eight. But with the loan player, take away the loan players as well, we all know it. Every year, it's almost been a massive an overhaul. But I'd be surprised if Armani Little went anywhere else. I'd be, I feel like apart from the big three of Billa, maybe Tilly in that, but I don't think Tilly's going to go anywhere. I think apart from Alhamadi, Curry and Billa, I feel like everyone else will probably be here next year if we want them to be.
I've still got a few questions left, Dan, and we're about 40 minutes, so we'll get through. We might not be able to do anything else tonight.
All right, mate.
Will we see an academy goalkeeper make it through to be outright number one?
Great question. Great question, because we've had so much. I was talking about this today, actually. I was talking to a good mate of mine, Nick Torpey, who does a bit of coaching over at Dorking. Lovely, lovely fella. His brother was Steve Torpey, who's played for quite a few clubs, Millwall, Scunthorpe and that lot up front. I think he might have played against the Dons once, actually. Really nice guy. But we're talking about the academy keepers. We had Spike Britz,
Will Mannion. We had the Bursic. All gone on to represent countries, all gone on to be good goalkeepers at professional level. Is this your question that you sent in? Is that why you're saying it's a great question?
No. I haven't heard my one yet. I've written three or four. But yeah, I'd love us to have the opportunity. But what I would say is that we've had a really good success rate of loan keepers. I can only really think of, I know Sam Walker was a bit more of a reactionary one. At the beginning of the season, when you have the beginning of the season, it's like, right, that's our number one. The only person I felt really disappointed with was King.
But yeah, who went on to do all right at Newport.
And now he's now at Wolves.
Man.
So, like, it's mad.
I think
Nathan Trott was all right, I think. But in general, I think that having an academy keeper is great if you're in a position where the rest of your team is sort of mid-table. Where we've been of late, it's really hard to justify it. Been able to gamble on a youth keeper, but I don't know how good they are, to be honest with you. We'll find out.
I think that's the thing. I don't know if we ever will have our own academy goalkeeper come through, because academy keepers are young. Do you know what I mean? And if they're that good, like Matt Cox is, he went to Brentford and now playing in League One.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They all went on to play for higher teams than us when they went on, like Bursic went to Stoke and started playing in the Championship. Will Mannion, I know he dropped down to Cambridge, I think. I don't know where he is from there. But
yeah,
he went up to Hull before that and was playing for Hull.
And he played in the Champions League for some Cypriot team, I think.
Yeah, so, I think one thing that we have to keep and has been so good for us is Ashley Bayes. Ashley Bayes, I don't know what he does with the keepers and wherever they come from. Arsenal, well, Ramsdale weren't from Arsenal, but look at what he done for Ramsdale, Ruse. What he's doing for Bass, even Trot and stuff like that. Yeah, I think Ashley Bayes has been phenomenal for us, and he's an absolute AFC Wimbledon legend. Which away trip are you most looking forward to in the remainder of this season? So for me, I'm going to Salford on the 16th of December. Not being up there, I'm taking my boy up to Manchester. We're going to go to the Classic Football Shirts Manchester up there. Check that out. We're going to go for something to eat. Up there, we were going to look maybe possibly see if we could do an Old Trafford Stadium tour, but that don't work for us. And I'm looking forward. I've not been to Salford, ticking it off one of my 92 and doing that in a few weeks. Other than that, yeah, I love an away day, so wherever really.
So, yeah, I was going to go to Salford, but it's my lovely wife's birthday and my little girl's birthday the week before, so Salford is problematic. I was meant to go to Tranmere last year, but I was really, really ill, so I couldn't go. So I think if I can squeeze the opportunity to go to Tranmere, that would be high up on my list. And then next year, I've got to attempt to go Barrow. I'm going to have to try it if we're in the same league.
Barrow is a thing that you do once, you never do it again.
Yeah, well, I feel like that's got to be my next step. I'm trying to work out who else we've got this year. I kind of always play around with it. Oh, no, I'll tell you what, Wrexham, January, innit? I'm going to doing Wrexham January. I think that might be one I'd quite look forward to doing. So, let's say Wrexham.
Salford for me in a couple of weeks. So, how much do you think the current squad is worth on the transfer market today? It's a tough one for me because I think we've got a striker in Ali that we could possibly get $2 million for. Yeah. We have a player in Curry that I think is probably worth about $500,000 to $750,000. We won't get that because he's out of contract, but I think he's worth. Little and Reeves are decent. So it's a tough what their actual worth is as a whole squad. I think we're decent, really. If you look at players like Einaz, Joe Lewis and stuff, Alex Bass, they could go for big money, I think. I don't know.
I reckon we're worth $4 million. And I reckon of that $4 million, I reckon Ali's worth. Ali, Biller and Curry are probably 2.5 of that.
Yeah.
And then I think after that, Tilly is 300,000-400,000 and everyone else kind of fits around it.
The only good thing for us with regard to Ali is a lot of clubs apparently after him. So that could be a bidding war that could work in our favour, especially
that would be a right touch.
So, what should the transfer priority be in January? Keeping certain players, turning some loans into permanents, or adding extras to the squad? All three of them for me. I think keeping certain players. I'd love to keep Ali for the whole summer. Again, I don't think we'll keep Curry. I'd love to turn Lewis into a permanent, but I don't think that could be the case either. I think Stockport must be looking at that situation and thinking he's doing really well there. Let's see how we get on this year. If we go up, then maybe we can shift him on to a Mansfield or someone for a bit more money. Yep. Adding extras to the squad, I think we need to add a striker.
So so out of the three then, if I said to you, you can keep Ali in January, you can turn Joe Lewis into a permanent, or you can bring in a backup or a loan player of your choice in it, or any position you want, what order are you putting them three?
Ali first.
Really, in January?
Because, again, you said earlier, his goal involvement is huge.
Yep.
And the only way you win games, we did it the other year, didn't we, when we sold our strikers and we didn't get anyone in and we struggled. I think that would happen again. I think we'd fall off a cliff again and people would go mental. Turning loans in, I don't think that's a massive rush because I think we can speak to Stockport at the end of the season. As much as I'd love to see Joe Lewis turned into a permanent, I don't think it has to be a priority. And then the squad, I think we will, in January, fill up. I understand that there's a couple of solid old Moore players we're looking at.
Okay.
So I think the main priority's got to be keeping Ali until at least the summer and then say to him, we'll let you move on then. You go and score 20 goals, you get the assist, your stats are going to be solid. We'll take $2 million for you then.
Yeah, okay. Joe Lewis would be a big one for me. And I feel like Ali going in January or the summer, if we're safe, I think it's negligible. I don't think we're going to be pushing to go up. So whether or not I'd be tempted to go, right, Joe Lewis, I want you, and I'm thinking of having you captain next year. Whether I'd stick that as a priority, I don't overly know. Mm. But Ali, I think, that was a good question, whoever sent that in.
Now, I'm guessing this is your last one as well.
What was my last one?
Does the club need... This is our last question of the night. Okay. Does the club need other media outlets such as fanzines, other podcasts and the like, or do we...
Wow. Whoever sent that, they must be right on the right page, same page as me. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, and we spoke about that earlier.
Again, I don't think you bring fanzines back, other podcasts and the like. I think there's always places for podcasts. There might be a need for some of the youngsters to do them. The Don's on Tour and... Kyle and stuff to maybe do a podcast. People don't realise how much effort gets put into a podcast. I know me and Danny do just turn up, but it is taking time out of your day and stuff and putting it all together. More the merrier, really. You know what I mean? We are the number one podcast, which I'm proud of.
Room for everybody.
Always. Right, that is question time done.
Bosh.
Yeah, we are unfortunately not going to be able to get through anything else today. So, Danny, we're going to have to put the selfie on the back burner. We'll discuss that in another episode and get that maybe next week, get that out. That is question time. Thanks very much, everyone, for sending your questions in. Again, I thought we'd get 5 or 6. I didn't think we'd get that many. We have learned something today, though. If I become AFC Wimbledon manager, I would do a better job than Danny Baker.
Wow.
And, yeah, we are playing on Saturday. We're not going to preview the game against Wickham. It's the EFL Cup. We're already through. Lyle Taylor's going to score, guaranteed. Hopefully, we play some players that need minutes. And, yeah, a win's a win. But I'm not too bothered about Saturday too much. And we'll come on to next week.
Well, enjoy all your weekends, everybody. Very rarely do we get in the season a free weekend. So go and get stuck in. Go and enjoy it.
Yeah. Come on, you duns.
Go on, Bruce.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.